Well, 75 years ago this week, and perhaps you saw some of the footage on Friday, marked the greatest amphibious and airborne assault known as Operation Overload by the United States and the Allied forces to eliminate an evil-filled world leader, Adolf Hitler, and his military regime attempting to advance across Europe, an attempt at world domination with socialism. 73,000 of the 156,000 troops were American. Nearly 10,000 died that day. 2,500 were Americans. If that battle was not won, we would not know the freedom that we have today. And as we enter this time of watching some of those recollections of D-Day, this video is in remembrance of June 6, 1944, and the veterans that served. And this will also launch us into a series called Our Sure Defense.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world.
Sir, I have myself full confidence that if all do their duty, if nothing is neglected, and if the best arrangements are made, as they are being made, we shall prove ourselves once more able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, and to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessary for years, if necessary alone.
Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces, but we shall return again and again.
Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeat in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home front have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory.
At any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of Parliament and the nation, the British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom.
I have full confidence in your courage devotion to duty, and skill in battle, we will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
Thy will be done. Amen.
If you were up early Friday morning, like me, I was able to see some of the live coverage of Normandy. It was hard not to get teary. It's amazing what had happened there. And I thought about how this has impacted our present situation. And you see what's happening in our world today in this kind of this, in some ways, a crave for socialism, but to recognize that our men, our military went to war against this type of invasive strategy that was going to decimate Europe and decimate America if it hadn't stopped. The fact that you can sit around your tables every day in an area that has incredible law enforcement, emergency services, is a sign that freedom has been won, and freedom needs to be protected. And so for that, I am grateful to God for, grateful to all of you who have served in U.S. military. Great war historians are not only able to chronicle what leads up to certain battles, but they will document what strategy was used to achieve victory, or what was neglected or ignored that brought destruction. So good people who study battles realize this is where the enemy advanced, and this is how that particular battle, it was either won or lost. And I think there's some thoughts here today that as we're heading into a relatively new series, been building up to this over the last couple of weeks, our first president, military general George Washington, said, make them believe that the offensive operations oftentimes is the surest, if not the only, means of defense. You've heard coaches use this term, the best defense is a good offense, right? And I think when it comes to true spiritual warfare, there is usually one of two extremes. Don't bother me with that hyper stuff. I don't go there. I just want to love people. I've heard that one. I just want to love people. Or some would say everything spiritual war, including everything that goes wrong in my life. There's the demon of the lost keys. There's no gas in the tank again. My alarm didn't go off for the 5 straight days to get me to work on time. It must be the demon of the alarm clock. And perhaps we're giving the devil a foothold by carelessness or laziness. Just saying. How many times I've misplaced my keys and I wind up sometimes saying, Who's responsible for this? Right here. I'm the guy. You know, Warren Wiersbe points out, he says, if you have the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. This isn't just hype. This is the Holy Spirit. If you have the Spirit without the Word, in other words, you separate the Word of God, the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, you blow up. In other words, it's all Spirit. Don't need God, don't need the Word, just need the Spirit. You kind of just become sort of a person that puts all your emphasis on what the Holy Spirit's doing. And I agree, the Holy Spirit has a very specific work in our lives. So he says, if you have the Spirit without the Word, you blow up. If you have the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. If just learning the Word of God is nothing but just a cerebral activity, it's just more and more and more scripture. Jesus talked about that. These people, you know, they divide the Word, and in one sense they kind of try to separate it, but they're really, their hearts are so far from God. They think they know the Word of God. It's all mental. They're being really nitpicky in one sense about at that time the Pharisees were just, they were missing the real intent of the Word. And so they dry up. They're whittling. And if you have both the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. That's the idea. We want to bring both the Word of God and the Spirit together so that we grow up. We're not eliminating one. Scriptural balance is always the right balance. And that's what I want to talk about. And this slide should be up on the screen, our sure defense. And this is where I hope to head for the next few weeks, if not few years. Just seeing if you're awake. I think this is such an important area of our lives, spiritual battle. I think this is an area that there's a lot of confusion. I think there's either a lot of hype on spiritual battle, or there's an elimination that it's a real battle. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Here is the plan as we start today with sort of an overview of this passage, of what is it going to take for any of us to succeed in spiritual victory. This is, as J. Vernon McGee likes to say, this is where the rubber meets the road. All right? There is a rubber meets the road opportunity every single day in our lives. We're sometimes ignorant of how to actually appropriate the resources that God has supplied. I believe this is a very comprehensive description of what to do. And then we want to move into every resource of the armor of God that is supplied to us by Jesus Christ. Christ made this possible for us to advance in victory. It occurs to me that if Satan can get our focus off of how complete we are in Jesus Christ, he in one sense is winning a present victory in our life. If our mind is only occupied by just what we see and experience in the day-to-day, it can be from money worries, it can be from health issues, it can be from family, it can be fear of the future. I mean, think about how powerful the mind is. It simply can take you somewhere that you haven't even been to quickly. You ever go there? I've heard somebody say, "I don't even like to rent space to those thoughts." Because there's a lot of vacancy up here sometimes if it's not filled with the Word of God. And that's what happens. Our mind needs to be filled. And I believe there's so much here in this passage that teaches us, instructs us how to make sure that we're moving forward in spiritual victory. So I want to talk about this idea of our sure defense. And there's three things that I hope generally that we would see today. Number one, our righteous position. And I believe you're going to see that from verses 11 and 12. Then our powerful weapons, verses 13 to 16. And then our plan for protection. Our righteous position, our powerful weapons, and our plan for protection. Every one of these is so vitally important. And there's so many other scriptures. If you read your Bible, you'll encounter very similar descriptions from time to time throughout Paul's letters. Paul is never, ever underestimating that this is war. What we saw up on that screen is ugly. War is ugly. And sometimes it feels like we're losing the war in our lives. But God has given us every resource. He's given us a perfect righteousness. To realize the battle over sin and death is won, in one sense, by Jesus Christ. We are awaiting the full revelation of that. Until he comes, we battle not against flesh and blood, as the scripture says, but against rulers. Recognize that. God is moving us towards something that is perfect, future. It's the state in which we will reside with him forever, but he's already given us perfect righteousness, perfect standing right now. If you are in Christ today, you have all the righteousness that you need to satisfy God. God is satisfied because of what Jesus says on the cross. It's finished. Our bloody, beat up, dying on the cross Savior makes a declaration before he breathes his last breath. It is finished. All sin has been atoned for. As much as this world is still pretty ugly in a lot of ways, and you see, as the scripture says, as nations will rise against nations, you see, we start to see some of what could this look like. What could this look like? You see, now Russia and China seem to be becoming friendships. You see what's happening in our own government. You have to threaten with a tariff to keep an invasion coming of illegal immigrants who don't want to come in the right way. I mean, you see a tension rising and an tension building. And at the same time, the greatest war of wars has already been fought and won, and it's in Jesus Christ. So the believer right now needs to know how to do one thing. How do we stand in the evil day? This is so awesome. Do you realize that God wants you to know so much of what already belongs to you, but how do you protect it? Do you know how to protect what already belongs to you? This is the foolproof protection plan. It deals with every aspect of our life, from our mind to our feet. And it's so awesome. I love what, there's a Greek imperative here in verse 11. It says, put on. Paul would say, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on indicates that the believer is responsible for putting on God's, not their, full armor. You don't have it within you, nor do I, what we need to be strong in the Lord. It comes from God. God not only forgives us, cleanses us, makes us right the moment that we receive Christ, he also provides us all the equipment essential for our true success. I believe this is the battle. I believe this is the Christian's battle of how do I live as a believer in a sin-filled world and not get discouraged, not lose hope, not fix my eyes on all the problems and all the brokenness, but keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. That's why I preached a message a few weeks ago about eyes fixed. We always want to see Jesus clearly. We never want to forget what he's done. That's why we observe the Lord's table. Jesus says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Look at how much I loved you, and I'm coming again. As often as you do this till the Lord comes. Meanwhile, we keep inviting people to come. The commentary says, all the armor and the weapons together were called the hapla. It's with all urgency. The detailed description of the armor, Ephesians 6, 14 to 17, may stem from Paul being tied to a Roman soldier while in prison awaiting trial. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul keep looking over at this guy's armor? Spiritual lesson there. God's given him insight into see how this soldier's protected. And we're going to break down the significance of that armor over the next couple of weeks. Back to verse 10 there for a second. You cannot be strong in the Lord unless you are in the Lord. A person is no match for Satan. The scripture says that we all like sheep have gone astray. We were going that way. The moment we were born, we needed to be saved. God knew that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God wants us to have an intimate experience with his love. And I believe that's both an emotional and a mental experience. I believe you need to see how much Christ died, how much he loved you and died for you. I think you need to see that. We need to get acquainted with that. This is not just a historical fact that has no bearing on the present. Our Savior wants intimacy with us. He wants us to get it. You know, my wife is reading a book that I'm touched by. It's about the importance of how this couple built intimacy in their relationship. And she's really, you know, telling me this book is powerful. It's how this man and woman built a strong alliance. They had certain code language for different moments in their life where they'd be in the same situation and they kind of recognized how to deal with that and how it built them together as one. And there's no greater picture of intimacy than a husband and a wife. There's just no greater picture of that. That is the most intimate human relationship, and Jesus calls us his bride. We are the bride of Christ. God wants intimacy with us, and he wants us to know these things. So good to have my wife back. I really just want to go over there and hold her and hug her. She's awesome. But where Paul says here, be strong in the Lord. See, if you're in the Lord, you can be strong in the Lord. Not just some weak, depressed believer who feels like life is constantly beating them up. I know a few people that way, and my heart breaks for them. And I try to tell them, let's continue to keep this in prayer. Let God use this in your life that you would be drawn. You know, sometimes like you, it's amazing, and I'm sure some of you have this experience, that when you invest into someone's life during their pain, it costs you something. It can cost you something emotionally. It can cost you something in terms of identifying those moments where there's a sense of, I'm connected with this person. I'm walking them through this ugly hour of their life. And there's a change on me, as much as it might be affecting them. Sometimes I'm like, I start to cry when I'm talking to somebody, and they're not crying. I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm crying for you. Can't you see? read my face. I'm crying for you. I saw those pictures on Friday of just reliving when these men get off these boats coming into Normandy. Those were the last moments that these guys saw. As soon as they got into that water, that was it. Done. Going into battle, just fighting for their country, fighting for freedom, going to that battle. People have said goodbye to a wife, maybe a baby that was just 2 months old. See, hopefully I'll see you. You know, that's why, you know, when Jesus says, don't fear him who can destroy the body, rather fear him, God, who can put both soul and body in hell. Now, God's desire is that nobody be in hell, but he wouldn't have sent his only son if people couldn't spend eternity in hell, because Christ was able to accomplish something that you and I couldn't do. And so when a person ignores that and they say, well, I'm just going to try to be a good person. I'm just going to plow through my life and do the best I can be. What we're saying there is that what Jesus did for me may just not be enough. Somehow I like getting in on this deal. Everybody likes getting in on the credit. Who doesn't like getting in on the credit? My wife comes home and I said, look what we did. We're working on the gardens. We've been working on other things. All to God. I'm thinking about this. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even have the strength to do this. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be able to be with you every week. The scripture says it's he who made us, not we ourselves. I can't get in on this in the sense that now I can use what God's given me for his glory. I can make a good investment into the future. But ultimately, I've got my life from him. I got my salvation from him. I get my energy from him. And I'm telling you something, the more you realize how to appropriate and implement the weapons of your warfare as a believer, God will make you stronger to be effective in a dark world. That's exactly what this whole thing's about. We want to know what our righteous position is, what our powerful weapons are, and what's God's plan for protection. I love this. I can get in on the action. I love the action. I want to be where the action is. But I don't want to do this stupidly. I don't want to do this poorly. I don't want to do this in a way that I'm just sort of just, you know, I'm making this stuff up as I go. I take specific instructions from the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, who delegated Paul the Apostle to instruct us in spiritual matters, that we would get it, that we would know how to succeed, that we would make sure that every part of our energy that we use every day, that we're making full appropriation of what God gave to us. Amen? Amen. I am just wanting us to get this. So if I do spend 11 weeks on spiritual warfare, it's because I think we need to. But I'm just saying, I don't know if it's going to go 11 weeks. But I'm going to go. I personally, as the scripture says, we want to wrestle with spiritual thoughts. We want to get our minds on this stuff. Scripture's awesome to memorize. I'm all for my son, Aaron, memorize the scripture. It just kind of, he's got like the scripture magnet. He just can hear, words and he can remember them. He and I were driving to the airport yesterday to go pick up mom. And by the way, I got to tell you this quick story. So my daughter Amanda yesterday spent time down at the Wareham Shaws on behalf of Bloom, which is a ministry for girls who are in trouble, young girls. And so her and a friend were there representing the ministry, and I said, well, it's in Wareham. I'm wondering like what ladies from the church are going to come in and walk through the entrance of Shaw's and say hi to Amanda. She says, Dad. I said, Amanda, just tell me, who are the ladies that you that came into Shaw's today? She goes, no, it wasn't the ladies. It was Jack and Blake. Blake, who hasn't been here in a bit, and we're hoping that Blake will be back. But I thought, you know, it's cool. But Aaron and I are driving into Boston, and Aaron loves Blue's Clues. Have you seen this little blue dog? That's Aaron's dog. I said, Aaron, give me a few lines to your favorite Blue's Clues episode. For about 28 minutes, he gave me every line in the episode. I'm like, oh my goodness, like how did he do this? God's blessed his little brain with an amazing memory. And I think, and I'm all for scripture memory, but unless we get scriptural memory into practical application, and I think anybody who's trying to memorize Bible verses is really trying to get application. So if you're memorizing scripture, keep going. But also realize that scripture memory, God wants to, it's like money in the bank. Dave Ramsey talks about the emergency fund. I believe scripture memory is like the emergency fund. I can't tell you how many times, like I go into sermon prep and I say, no weapon formed you against me shall prosper. Right? So my brain starts going back. It's like the triggers come because I've put it there. Now I need to go back. I need to look at the context. I need to understand why is that scripture there and who was it intended to and all that stuff. But scripture comes back. God says, my word which goes forth from my mouth will not return to me empty without accomplishing the matter in which I sent it. So God is faithful to his word. And these scriptures are that. So we want to be strong in the Lord. This is our true righteous position that was given to us freely by God. But guess what? You can become stronger in the Lord, in his might. The same power that Amanda and Beth sang about that raised Jesus from the grave lives in us. Do you know that? Do you ever like find a, like, I didn't know I had this. Like, you find something old and, you know, maybe it's like a baseball collection. And it's like, it's Babe Ruth. It's Ted Williams. It's like, somebody gave this to me 30 years ago. I never went in here. But now it's like all these, like, you know, things worth like $5 million, right? I think scriptural mining is like that. It's like this stuff becomes alive to you. Like, oh my goodness, that's part of the resources that God gave to me. See, because here's the deal. Paul says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Remember what Peter says? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's a vulnerable Christian. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter so much with your history, your prior difficulty, with everything that you would regret you've ever done. The problem happens when we focus on more on that stuff than what God did in us in Jesus. And then building on that, Paul would say, forgetting what lies behind, I strain to what lies ahead. It doesn't mean that you didn't bring some stuff still into your filter zone that still reminds you of your past. That's why we want to put on the full armor of God. If we could see how righteous we are in Jesus, it would baffle us. You're a righteous person. You are the most righteous people I know. This is true righteousness, a person who's in Christ. But he says here that the devil has schemes. And they can come in various forms, in various ways. Sometimes it's just pure compromise. Why can't we all just get along? Why do we have to uphold Jesus in the shed blood? I've heard today that within the church context, churches are choosing not to sing about the blood of Christ anymore because it offends people. Tough. If I forget the blood that was shed for me, just think about those soldiers. I think about those soldiers. That's kind of a recent look. Just look at those guys who walk into those waters. Like, they're taking down Adolf Hitler and his regime. They're taking on the forces of hell. And if I forget that, never mind forgetting what Jesus did for me. You talk to a family member whose loved one's been blown apart in a battlefield. If you trash on that, it's like you just given them, just taken away what this whole document of freedom that we have in this nation. It's like it's been fought for. It's been purchased. It's blood behind it. And our God is the one who loves freedom. Our God is a freedom-loving God. He made us to know true liberation and freedom. But in a world that is still dark, and just to show you how long-suffering God is, how patient he is, Peter says, you know, remember how Peter dealt with this? Is that the scoffers will come? Oh, where is the hope of his coming? Where's the hope of his coming? You people talk about the hope of the Lord, the hope of the Lord. But I was reading, I read a news site called Drudge Report. Some of you may know that. But it was an article about the rise of anxiety in this world, and it's off the charts. And a lot of it is dealing with an apocalyptic concern, in one sense. Things that are happening in the world. There's something happening down at our southern border that's concerning. And we should be praying for our country. We should be praying for our country, praying for God to give our president true wisdom, whether we like him or not. Pray for our vice president, for those who know how to manage, who are in stewardship roles, God's put these people here. He's put them in these roles. I don't have to like them to pray for them, okay? This is the problem. I don't like him. He's a jerk. You know, pray for him anyway. Thank you, Ed. You want to come up here and preach, brother? Because mind you that the spiritual domain you know, Satan is not with God, but Satan still resides in a spiritual realm. And the scripture is pretty clear that about a third of the demons went with Satan when Satan says, I will be like the Most High. The envy of Satan. And God has allowed Satan to have a certain jurisdiction, but not without God's full control. So Satan is able to roam, and Satan has an entourage of demons. And Satan's number one strategy is to keep a person from coming to know true forgiveness in Jesus. That's why when you raise the religious question, by the way, a true believer is not religious. A true believer in Jesus Christ is somebody who says, I take Almighty God at his word, my creator, what he did for me, and I hold on to that. And that's Jesus. Everything else is going to be an attempt to sideline Jesus, to take him out of his rightful position. And that's what Satan is endeavoring to do. So this is the rulers and authorities that we're battling against, trying to minimize. So when you hand somebody a Gospel of John in a few weeks, what you're offering them is Jesus. You're offering them life. You're offering them hope. You're offering them the record of God in his word. So we want to know how to develop ourselves in our righteous position and lay hold of this, because we're not battling against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil. We are battling against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But this is not where God and Jesus are. This is another domain that God's allowed Satan to presently be in and to have access to this earth. You just see how people can be filled with evil. I hate it. Sometimes it's just I myself, but I also say to my own heart, that same evil tendency is in this guy. Thankfully, having been crucified to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the more that as Jesus says, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit in my place. He's going to be your power. And I really believe this. The Holy Spirit's number one job is to remind us who we are in Christ. It's the comforting work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work. We already know we're sinners, right? But Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men to myself. The teaching ministry of the cross is that a full sacrifice has been made for the world. But now every person who trusts that gets the full supply of God's Spirit to come into their life. And as you and I get to understand God and His Word better and better, we become good warriors, good soldiers. And Scripture says our weapons are powerful. These are our powerful weapons. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Sometimes these are just days of great weakness in our lives, great discouragement, maybe great disappointment, maybe a great temptation. Having done all to stand firm, stand therefore. In other words, keep enjoying what belongs to you. Having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The truth is knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what God did for you. This breastplate of righteousness, this full clothing that you wrapped yourself around, is nothing like if you've ever been to a very special occasion. Do you ever like be working in the yard and you're just all grimy, but later that day you're going to a special function, maybe it's a wedding. In one moment, you're looking pretty nasty. And a few hours later, you're looking pretty good. And people will say to people like you, you clean up pretty well, right? You've heard that one? You clean up pretty well. And that's what we want to. This breastplate of righteousness, this breastplate of cleanness, of purity that I have now in Christ. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Do your feet take you places that you want to bring Christ into your world? Sometimes it's a full-blown gospel invitation. Christ loves you. He died for you, and He wants to have a relationship with you. But not every question is going to, every conversation might go there. But is your mind prepared to take you there? Right? Even though our feet still get dirty in a dirty world, right? Our mind can still get dirty. We can cleanse it by the Word of God, remembering what God has done for us. And then we can take this beautiful salvation. Scripture says, how blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. How are your feet today? Don't mind those toenails. How are those feet today? Are they taking you places that God wants to use your life to bring someone a word of encouragement? In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So often I think the shield of faith in our lives is to protect us. We're trusting that this shield over our lives, this what God has already accomplished for us, that we trust happened by faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you taken God at his Word? Do you take God at His Word today? What He's done for you. That's an awesome thing. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If God says, hey, here's the offer. The only way you can take this is by faith, and that's believing it. You can't earn it. You can only receive it. You can take it by faith. And I think so much of our life as in the life of the church too, we're going to continue to have to live by faith all the days of our lives. God let this start in faith. We trusted Him in faith. He continues to teach us His Word. We grow in faith. We grow in knowledge. We continue to say, you know what? If God's leading, we're going. Dennis had asked me, he said, hey, why don't we do a Gospel of John outreach project? Why don't we get the Gospel of John out this summer? I don't know who I plan to give a Gospel of John to. It might be the people on my street. Don't know. But I'm going to go after somebody with Gospels of John this summer. And I hope you'll join me. We're going to form some teams and some captains. Actually, we should have a graphic up on the screen. Matter of fact, it's been updated. This is coming. We're getting 500 of these, 400 large print for the site challenge in the world. 250-ish in a the where before 50 my eyes worked better, I don't like, I've been telling Amanda, it's like, Dad, don't tell me how old you're getting. But I'm feeling it more and more. I'm like, oh, my knee's hurting. I'm just complaining. I'm a complaining mess. But anyway, these Gospels of John are going to be coming in the next few weeks. And then we're going to form a series of teams that look for opportunities to give these out. You know, most of us are chicken, and I'm gonna raise my right hand here. I'm chicken. Okay, there are times I'm just chicken. And I say, you know what? Why didn't I at least try to give them a Gospel of John? Am I going to say no? And as in the famous words of our brother Mike Mangum, who walks strong into a police station as a former guy who served in law enforcement for the last 40 to 50 years, and the guy's like, walks into a police station, the officer says, we don't do religion here, that's religious. Mike's like, this is not religion, this is the word of God. All right? Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike, for your wonderful example to our church, Mike. Your courage to fight. I believe an inspiration to this project of what we want to do this summer in reaching people out with the pure grace of God captured in the Gospel of John. The scripture says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Remember the hearing the guys from Teen Challenge? Guess what they've done? They've learned to pull down strongholds with the Word of God. And you heard it in statements like this, I could let the past define me, but I'm not. So whether people believe that we're the real deal or not, you live your way, your life, your whole way, we don't trust you, you're just a manipulator. Well, you know what? Give me some time and God's going to show you that He's done some work in me. And if I still have manipulating tendencies, then I'm going to trust that God's going to help me. Because this is a growth process. Just because you become a Christian, you are not instantly mature. You need a lifetime of growth. And until you see Jesus, and we don't know when that will be, any of us. Yesterday I heard a little Amish buggy driving down the street of Michigan, and the whole thing was clobbered by a drunk driver. Two of them, children, are gone. Two are fighting for their life. It's a mess. It happens. So don't play with this life. I say that to my own self. I truly want to live a full life, and I pray that God will use me till He's done. That's my prayer and my hope. But don't presume on the future. It is not wise. Prepare for the future, but don't presume on the future. And Scripture says in verses 17 to 18, our plan for protection, to take the helmet of salvation. If you can just imagine Paul studying this Roman soldier's armor and saying, there's a spiritual illustration here, and I'm taking it full tilt. This is going all the way. And this is going to be the clarity that every believer in Christ needs for their time on planet Earth. Think of the stuff that harasses you. It could be family relationships. It could be other stuff. It could be, again, as I said earlier, it could be episodes of failure. But see, as you grow up in your most holy faith, you realize, I belong to Him now. The Scripture says that He's transferred you. If you've come to faith in Christ, you say, I do believe that. I do believe He did that for me. The Scripture says that He transferred you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That great transfer has already occurred for the believer. Now it's just learning to live in a messy world as a new person. It's called what it means. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Probably my signature verse. You should memorize that one too. We all should. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You want to be able to destroy thoughts, even stuff that comes against your own conscience. Remember, we've learned this. The blood of Jesus Christ has even cleansed our conscience. There's not one part of you that hasn't been cleansed by what Christ has done for you. Wow! And see, Satan just likes to keep reminding you, keep digging over that dirt and keep looking at it. If you dig down, if you take dirt and there's this much in there and you start at the top there, that's dirt. If you get all the way to the bottom, it's still dirt. You can't find good in dirt. Well, you can, but I mean, you know what I mean? If it's dirt is dirt, okay? I know you gardeners are going to hate me, right? There's a lot of nutrients in the soil. I get that, right? But dirt is still dirt. And the dirt in our old life is gone in Christ. But now we have to act. We want to step up and act our new character. We want to appreciate what God has done for us. So it says there, praying all the time, at all times. How often do you pray? Do you pray when it only gets bad? Oh, it's like my life's a mess. I got to pray. Well, no, we should be always praying. Scripture says to always be prayerful. Does this always mean you got to pull over and close your eyes and fold your hands? No. You can just say, Lord, I'm yours. And you know what? That situation that I'm well aware of right now is really upsetting me. And I hate it. And actually, this is actually robbing me of real joy and real focus and real energy. And Lord, I'm just going to commit. I'm going to ask you again to help me to turn this over to you, to trust you. You know, the Christian can't lose. Christian really can't lose in one sense. He can't lose his perfect standing with God. But he can, at times, lose his joy and lose his focus. But what God did in Christ is done for you. And to actually grow up and understand that is really the job of the Christian. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Make supplications for all the saints. Praying, I believe, is protection. Because what it reminds us of is that, you know what, Lord? Remember what James said? How did he say it? You know, you who say, we're going to go to this city and that city. Tomorrow we're going to do this. You know what you should say? You rather should say, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we're going to do that. If our church is meant to move outside of these four walls so that we can have a better facility, God willing, it's with the Lord. All the money that we would need to do that, all the resources, all the energy, all the focus, all of that. We are not going to do that unless God directs us to do that. And we want to trust him for that. If he says, you know what? You're not ready for that yet. You're going to just stay and grow this place. And that's the whole point of the Gospel of John presentation that you're going to give is you want to fill this place. We're looking forward to a special Outreach Sunday, I believe, somewhere around the 7th or the 14th of July. We'll be telling you more about that. Yes, the hot dog cart is being revealed every single day. I take one other piece of it and put it near the other pieces, and it's coming together. So we want to do some fun stuff this summer. We normally have a wonderful outing at Ed's place in August, which is a celebration. And by the way, if you've not been baptized as a believer, I would love the privilege of baptizing you as a believer. Let it be clear. Baptism, in one sense, is not saving you from anything except it's giving you the reminder that I'm a Christian. I belong to God, and all these people witnessed it. I know what happened inside, and I'm just declaring that outside. I'm not completing my salvation by a believer's baptism. There was like 12 people last year got baptized down at Ed's place, and it was wonderful to see these people. So this summer, we hope to be able to have more people baptized. So if you've never been baptized, it'd be my privilege to baptize you this summer. But what you're saying is, I'm identified with him. I'm identified. And I need every spiritual resource to continue to grow in my full identification. Think about law enforcement, Mike. You pick on Mike Mangum again. You don't put a law enforcement officer out there without training. Every one of us needs training. And that's the power of being in church, in Bible study, reading the scripture, praying together, all the things that Ephesians chapter 6 talks to us about today. So, my heart's for you. I desire that as a church that we would know our true weapons in a dark world. And as we see the day approaching, which is ultimately when we'll be with Jesus, don't you want to leave there? Don't you want to get there with a welcoming entrance? Like, you used what I gave you. You took advantage of what I gave you. You know all those victories you experienced along the way? It's because by faith you trusted me. Well done, good and faithful servant. I can't wait to hear those words. I pray I do. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for just helping us this morning to focus a little bit on this powerful passage of how to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. There's so much here in spiritual battle that we would do well to get acquainted with. Thank you for how you're working in this church. Pray that you will continue to lead us, Lord. May we, as your just beloved children, just continue to grow. And if anybody here today doesn't know Christ, and you say, this is my day to be saved, I really want to know I'm in Christ. Anybody here this morning, just slip up your hand. I'd love to pray for you right now. I want to know that I am saved. Anybody here this morning? Father, thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of the people in this church. I pray that we as a small body of believers, we trust will grow, become energized in all that we get to do this side of heaven, that we're not earning our way yet. In one sense, Lord, you desire that we would come in with a grand entrance. Wow, you've appropriated what I gave you. Help us, I pray today, Lord. I pray for anybody who might be struggling with recognizing that they've not put on the full armor of God. Lord, as we develop this over the weeks, I pray that you would help me, and I pray you'll certainly help everybody here to appropriate these weapons of our warfare. Anybody here this morning says, Pastor Dave, I want to be more equipped for battle this morning. I see that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this place, and please place your hedge of protection on this church. I thank you for bringing Jordan Shea back from a long trek, Lord. I pray for her, Lord, that you will give her wisdom moving forward in her life. I thank you for just allowing us as a church to be supporting missionary endeavors. I think of our good friend Steve Baldwin, Lord, traveling again in some difficult territory. I pray for him this morning. Lord, these missionaries who love you and want to get your word out, I ask you to bless them, help them. Thank you for the gospel that Christ gave to us, that he says, you will be my witnesses. And he talked about to the uttermost parts of the earth. So Lord, bless missionary efforts even this morning that are trying to take this wonderful gospel to that point, and help us to do it locally this summer, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.